Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat. I am super excited to have you guys all here with me today and another fantastic guest. So hello, Erin Harrigan. Say hi.
Hello, Kat. It's so good to be here.
Yay. I'm so excited to have you here today for the podcast. So do us all a favor as we get started. Tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into your space.
Absolutely. So I'm Erin Harrigan. I am a Christian wife, empty nest mom of two adult daughters. So that's an adventure. I am a speaker, author, and coach. I work with high achieving female believers who want to scale and refine their business while letting God lead, because we're sometimes not very good at that. I love tacos. That's really important. I love really good cheese. I love really good red wine. I live along the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland with my husband, Brian, of 30 years, and our new puppy, Rory, as in Rory McIlroy Harrigan. Oh. He's a Bernedoodle, so that's been super fun. And how I got here was, number one, this was not on my map. And number two, it really was through the process of getting to know God, getting to know Jesus, and taking everything I had done in corporate executive leadership and everything I had done in multi-level marketing, and coming to a place of hitting a wall, number one, number two, letting Jesus drive, and number three, being obedient to him saying, now go teach this to your highly ambitious sisters. So that's what I've been doing. And it's, again, not where I thought I'd be, but I love every single minute of it.
Which I think is so awesome. I love it when I get to talk with people that, especially those that wasn't even sure that this was a thing to do. And it just kind of like, it feels like it hits you out of left field. I feel like that's kind of like what happened with me when I got into this journey. You know, we talked about this. I was in real estate beforehand. I was like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. And then it was like, whatcha?
Right. Oh, you think so? Watch this.
It's so interesting. And it's unique to the, you know, the conversation that we're going to be having as well, is learning how to let go of that control. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so hard for so many of us to do, especially in today's world, right? We feel like we don't have a grasp on anything, or right, we need to have a grasp on everything. And what I have learned, especially through that process myself, is the more that I step back out of the things that I know I really can't control and stop trying to control it, the more doors that open up so much more organically for to connect with amazing people like you and amazing clients and all of these opportunities that bubble to the surface.
Yes. Yes. I love that. There's what comes to mind for me every time I talk about control. So I'm an 80s girl, and there's a song by 38 Special called Hold On Loosely. And the lyric goes, hold on loosely, but don't let go. If you cling too tightly, you're going to lose control. And isn't that so true? Because we think we've got it all, right? And then something happens, something shifts, a change happens, obviously outside of our control. And I love those stories where people are going one way, and then suddenly, from my perspective, God turns you another way, and you're like, wait a minute, I don't think I was supposed to get off at this exit.
I feel like that's happened so many times in my life where I'm like, wait a minute. Can I get back on the bus?
I just did a podcast on Monday. I was a guest on a podcast called Midlife Rise and Thrive. And it's for, those of us that are like over 45, 50. And I started with when I was 27, my mom was 50. And I remember coming home from work one day and going, I just don't know what I'm supposed to be when I grow up. And she was like, I'm 50. And I don't know what I'm supposed to be when I grow up. And so I think of that so often because we think we know what that path is. Mm-hmm. And then we get to these inflection points and it looks so different, but in so many ways, different doors open, like you said. And, we come to love from a different perspective what we're doing. And that's the best.
Yeah. And I love that you talk about that, your mom not really knowing what she wants to do at her age, because it's so true. Like, our societal norm is taught at a very young age, right? I mean, my oldest one just graduated from high school last year, but my youngest one, he's in his second year and they're already like, what is your pathway? What are you going to do this? And I'm like, why are we shoving this down people's throats? Now, don't get me wrong. I know that there are some people that know from a very young age exactly what they want to do and they go for it. Like, kudos to you. I went in for a medical degree that now I don't use after doing it for 10 years, right? So like, there's so many pivotal moments in your life. And I think that people feel like they are behind on the timeline that society has laid for us because they don't have it defined, or they do hit a place in their life where they completely pivot, do a complete 180, and they feel like they're missing out because they decided to start over or try something new or move in a different direction, which can be a super scary place for a lot of people.
Oh, totally. My older daughter is 26. She decided not to go to college. She went right into working. She has a killer work ethic. She's a little bit of an overachiever like me, but also like lower key, like my husband. And she just recently right now is going through a job change. And she's like, I am 26 years old. Like, shouldn't I have this figured out? And I said, no, because what you were doing before, you thought you were going to love, you discovered that it really wasn't the best use of your gifts and talents. Now you've fallen in love with this kind of an industry. Like, that is going to happen. I think I read a statistic a couple years ago, Kat, that something like that the Gen Z generation will have something like 12 different career paths by the time they hit age 40 or 50 or something.
Wow.
And I used to think that was crazy until I looked back at my own career path and I'm like, oh yeah, because you're right. We were taught, get a degree, get a job, work for 40 years. Now, my in-laws did that and they retired and they love it. But I just don't think we're all cut out to do that. Some people are, and that's awesome. But not everybody is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I feel like we stifle ourselves with the things that we want to try out because we try to stay in this one path or this one lane that others have laid before us. And it's the same thing, like with my oldest one, he's 19 and we've had this conversation as well. And he's like, well, I don't really know. I like doing this. And I'm like, well, then try it out.
Right.
Like, see what you enjoy, because I think that is the one thing that I feel I missed out on. While I learned tons of lessons in it, it would have been neat to be able to explore different industries and different jobs versus, you're right, like what we were taught, which was you graduate, you go to college degree, and then you go into that field. And we wonder why so many people have burnout, right? There's so many changes that can happen within your life that could push you toward a completely different career, right? Having children could push you in a different direction. Getting divorced could push you in a different direction. Your kids leaving the nest could put you in a different direction. You may have the ability to now try something that you never thought was even in your pathway. And to me, I think that's the cool thing about it is we get to live in a world, if we choose to, that we are completely and constantly relearning, rediscovering who we are, what we enjoy doing now, because that changes throughout your entire life.
Yeah. I love that you talked about it, you know, even the conversations that you're having with your son, because when I look back, I say that I'm a recovering driver, striver, and achievement chaser. We grew up with very little. So to me, money was my savior. So I was always chasing the money. Now I want to be really clear, because sometimes when people, you know, hear like, oh, she's Christian, they must think that like, I'm not trying to make money. And the truth is like, it's okay to make money, right? Money is not the issue. It's the value that we put on it. And if I hadn't been so concerned about chasing that, and I mean, all respect to those that obviously need to make money, I think I would have done things very differently. I might have done like what my younger daughter is doing. She is an artist. She's an actor. She just moved to New York City. She has multiple serving jobs, but she is carving herself a path that gives her the flexibility to do what she loves. And I think if I hadn't been so stuck, Kat, and I love what you said, like get the degree and then you're there for 10 years. If I hadn't been so stuck on how does this degree lead me to that job, I would have tried some different things. But I think it's a double-edged sword, because we want our kids and we want ourselves to try different things. But then you kind of get the side eye, right? Or you get the people who are like, what are you doing? Like, you have no direction. No. I'm kind of like dipping my toe in different pools of water to really figure out where are my gifts and talents best used? What do I really enjoy doing? And I don't think we leave enough room for people to really enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely. I think that more people are after the stability and the comfort that being in the same thing creates, because then it's one thing off your plate to have to think about, right? I know what I'm going to do every day. I know I'm going to do it when I go to work every day. I know my schedule, so on and so forth. And for some people, right, that works for them tremendously.
Oh, totally.
And I'm not knocking that at all. For me, and for a really good period in my life, that worked for me because of situations that I was in.
Absolutely.
Nowadays, the direction and the life that I've created now, I don't crave that anymore. And so I do have that flexibility, and I do have the patience to say, okay, where is this going to go? Where is this going to go? How could that possibly come out? And it's a totally different arena to be in, especially when you think about how many people are so focused on hustling and controlling every aspect of life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do think that as entrepreneurs, at least this is what I experienced when I was moving up the ranks in the MLM that I was part of, or network marketing company I was part of, we really did a disservice to those for whom that 9-to-5 stability it works really well for them. You know, we would always just put that down and talk about it in such derogatory terms. And I think that both can exist. Like, we can appreciate those and respect that that's their decision. But for some of us, like, we really need that and want that flexibility. For me, the time flexibility is the biggest piece. Even though my girls aren't in the house, it gives me so much flexibility to go visit my younger daughter, or go take my older daughter to lunch, or like just all of those pieces. And you know, like with your boys, the ages that they are, that you want to have the availability. And that was the piece that was always missing for me in corporate was I never had the availability. I worked all the time. I traveled so much. So yeah, I had a great title and a big paycheck, but I was so miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that comes back to understanding who you are at your core and being okay with it versus what so many of us try to do, which is to make sure that people like us, which oh, then yeah. causes a lot of us to get right. into that space of burnout or yeah. push ourselves harder than what we would have done before, or not take the vacation because, I mean, technically our employer could use us and, you know, he kind of gave me that look. So maybe I should, like, there's so many things that we yeah. can get caught up in.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. I think that we can very easily become dependent upon the accolades, the recognition, the, oh, yeah. I need you and I like to feel needed and I'm a problem solver. Let me help solve this problem or let me be available mm-hmm. to solve this problem. And if we don't pay attention to our core values, if we don't pay attention to, you know, what are the things that are non-negotiables, then we will put those things on the table. I did that for a long time. I did not make my family non-negotiable. I did not make my marriage non-negotiable because mm-hmm. I thought, well, that'll be there, but I got to go earn this money.
Mm.
And that for me was the inflection point when I woke up that day in 2014 and I went, this does not feel like I thought it would feel to be successful and have the big house and have the luxury car. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But for me, I was tying everything to those things and found myself having all this outward success, but complete inward emptiness. Like, when is something going to fill this?
Yeah.
Because I'm piling on the things and that doesn't seem to help. And so we have to be really careful how we are identifying ourselves by our achievements. Mm. Where are we finding our identity as a person versus the business owner or, you know, the one who's winning all the awards? And what do we value so that we can then make the decisions of, okay, so then what does a life look like if I put my values first? And then what does that work look like?
Yeah, I love that so much. And I feel like that in itself is going to help redefine and reshape even the corporate standards, because people are going to start realizing that, where I talk to so many people that are still in corporate now. And when I ask them certain questions, they're like, oh, well, it's just known. It's just understood. And I'm like, but nobody's going to ask. So there's all these invisible stipulations that I feel like are floating up in the air, and corporate's not going to be like, oh, we don't believe in that because why not? I mean, if people are going to work harder, let's just hush up and let them do it. Right. But it's taking that step forward to start having those conversations, start asking those questions, start redefining, like, okay, how many hours do you require of me? How long do you expect this project to take me? And even looking at that in the entrepreneurial space as well, when you're doing things, you know, how much is this going to take from me? Is this something I really desire to do? Or am I looking at this because other people are saying it's going to generate that external validation?
Yes. Yes. Or those extra dollars, right?
Yeah.
And to me that to me, what comes up as you're saying that is also understanding the value that we bring to that work. Now, this isn't as possible in corporate. I mean, you could be negotiating your salary and that sort of thing. But when you're an entrepreneur, you have to understand the value of your time so that you are pricing it appropriately, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you are taking into consideration all of those pieces. Like, is this something I'm going to enjoy, or is it going to be 15 hours of drudgery? And therefore be able to ask yourself, is this the right work for me? Is this the right client for me? And am I charging the right amount? There's all kinds of people who will talk to you about like what you should charge and all those things. There's so much that goes into that decision, and it's individual for each person. But again, it comes back to like knowing ourselves, like you said, knowing what we value so that we can make really smart business decisions.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, I know that one of the other things that, which, you know, beautifully wraps in with what we're talking about as far as having control of all the things is, you know, you talk about redefining the hustle.
Yeah.
And I would love your intake on what you consider being able to redefine that and what that looks like for people, or especially for those that are starting to notice that they are in this hustle mode. Because it does take an awareness, right? You have to be able to be present to realize that this is not working. This needs to change. And then what does that look like?
So for a long time, I really glorified hustle, right? I hustled. I made it happen. And when I was in corporate, my nickname was Pitbull because I would get on, I wouldn't let go, right? And I was applauded for that. I got accolades for that. So the more I hustled, right, the more accolades I got. And then a few years ago, I read a book by Melinda Fuller, which is called Obedience Over Hustle. And it's all about how Jesus worked, right? And so if that's not your belief system, that's okay. Stick with me for a second. So you probably know enough about Jesus to know that he ministered to small groups. He worked one-on-one. He worked with large groups. He did miracles, like all of these pieces. And what she said, what Melinda said in her book is like, if you look at even just Mark, the book of Mark in the Bible, you'll see that Jesus is everywhere and right all over the place. But here's what he didn't do. He didn't hustle the way the world has defined hustle. So what do I mean by that? I started looking up the word hustle. And what I found is that most of the definitions were like these aggressive, pushy definitions. I was at a conference a few years ago and I won a cup that said, hustle to your haters, ask if you're hiring. Now you see, I got the head thing, right? Because to me, when you say like, hustle to your haters, ask if you're hiring, that's like all attitude. That's like, oh yes, I'm going to do that, right?
Yeah.
But after I read that book, I thought, wait a minute, are we made to do that? Because in all of my life of hustling, it always felt chaotic. It always felt like I couldn't catch my breath. I couldn't take my foot off the gas. Right. It was like this constant, aggressive, pushy movement. So I started asking people what hustle meant to them. And one gentleman said to me, well, I never really thought of hustle as a negative thing. I thought of it as you stick to it because you gave your word and your actions match what you said. And I was like, ooh, this is interesting.
Ooh.
So as I kept digging into the definition of it, what I found is we in society have taken that word like we've done with so many other words, and we've twisted the definition to be negative, right? As a noun, negative, as a verb, negative. But there is a definition, the first definition in the dictionary, that actually speaks to working with intention and purpose and a sense of timing. And I was like, wait a minute, how come I've never seen this before? Well, because that's not what is portrayed in society to be hustle. Like it's never portrayed as this calm, peaceful, methodical way to work. It's always portrayed as frazzled, crazy, stay up all night, work all the time, right? Because that's what the entrepreneur life has been presented as. So as I did that, at the same time I was doing that, this other movement called anti-hustle, I started seeing everywhere. And I was like, well, anti-hustle, I don't relate to that because I actually like movement in my business. I actually like having a lot going on. But is there a way that I can do that with calm and peace and not sort of be in this anti-hustle move? And what came up for me, going back to the book that I had read and really studying how Jesus worked, is that if we emulate how Jesus worked in four ways, number one, we are intentional in what we're doing. Yes, we're going to get distracted, but if we are intentional, then what we want to get done gets done and we don't have to be all over the place. Number two, purposeful. Why am I taking this action? Am I just trying to stay busy? I have a sticky on my monitor that says, am I being productive or just active? Right? Am I working on purpose? The third thing is knowing that there's a sense of timing. Everything doesn't have to get done today. But there is a sense of timing that you know that things have their place and their time, and some things have to happen before other things. You know, Jesus only had 3 years of ministry, so he knew that he had to have timing, right? And then the last thing that he did that we, I think, as humans, whether you're a believer or not, are not really good at is that he always took time to rest. He always took time to talk with his father and understand his father's direction and pray and all of these pieces. And whatever that looks like for you, I just think as human beings, we're not good at that because we've been taught that hustle means you don't stop, right? Yeah. So all of that is a long story, but the point is, I believe that we can redefine hustle. And when you redefine hustle, here's what happens. You break the chains of overachievement. Why? Because you're being intentional and purposeful and you work with timing, right? You break the chains of overwhelm because you know that everything doesn't have to get done right now, right? Yeah. But you have to be clear and intentional about what needs to get done when. And then lastly, you begin to work from a place of clarity, of serenity, and a place of fulfillment because you're no longer chasing all of the rabbits and squirrels. you're being really focused in your work. And so that to me is how I want to work. That's how I think most people want to work. But I think we get drawn in and sucked in because we've been brainwashed to believe the negative definition of hustle, and that if we don't do it, we're losing ground and we're not keeping up and we're behind, right? Kind of like you talked about earlier with, mm-hmm. with education and career path. I believe that we can redefine it. I believe we have to redefine it, because otherwise we're all walking around burnout mess. And then how are we impacting lives?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, what's so funny too, is when I think about back when I first jumped into the entrepreneurial space, when I was in real estate, that hustle culture is very big in that industry. And so it was just like constant. And then as I grew in my business and decided that I wanted to really branch out and help even more people, I realized that I was doing so much, but like nothing was getting done. And I had a coach at the time that did the same thing. She was like, I need you to make space in your day to relax. I need you to make space in your day to calm back down, to come back to your present moment. And it was so funny because I remember having so many conversations with her in the beginning that like, I would actively choose that like, okay, this weekend, I'm not going to do anything like I always do. I'm going to use this day to actually just kind of be and enjoy myself because I can get the chores done later. That was the most nerve-wrecking thing to have to do in the beginning. Like I remember my brain going, well, we could have been done this. We could have been doing that, but I should have done this, but this could have already been done. Like it was like nonstop where there was just, I felt like my own self was punishing what I was trying to become with, but this is not how it's done. This is not what, you're not being productive. You're not being productive. So therefore, like, what in the heck are you doing? You're wasting your time. And then, you know, when I started becoming more aware of that voice, it's when I realized like, holy crap, this is what we are being taught. This is what everybody preaches. And this is what so many people in the entrepreneurial space, and especially in the real estate world, are always posting about. I'm on the beach and I'm working. Why?
Why? Oh my gosh, Kat. Yes. Yes.
Right? Yeah. Like I'm in the hospital, but I got it. Why?
And why are we glorifying that?
Yes.
Yeah. I can remember in my network marketing business two times. One, when somebody was like, oh, we go on all these vacations and we earn these trips. And then I went on the trip and everybody was on their laptop. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Why are we doing this? Because you have made a promise that I will have a different life. And that looks like the life I already have, right? Number two, somebody was in the hospital and they were like, even though she was in the hospital, she got it done and she reached her promotion. And I'm like, really? Is this what we want to glorify? Because if we're trying to help people, whatever industry you're in, and I'm so glad your coach did that with you, like we have to model that behavior. And guess what? We're not just modeling it for ourselves. We're modeling it for our kids. We're modeling it for team members. Yes. But I do want to acknowledge what you said, Kat, that even though I've been doing this a long time, it still can be unnerving when I'm like sitting.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't I be doing something? Right. But you have to allow your mind and your body the space to breathe and be present. Because I don't know about you, but when I do that, I have the best ideas.
Yes.
I have the best strategy that comes up. Like suddenly people are reaching out to me, which we are in so many ways in the world, we're not teaching that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It, you know, and I still, like you said, I still get that sometimes where I do pause and I'm like, oh, but I should. And it's retraining yourself and reminding yourself that like, it is okay. But you're so right as far, especially kids, we are trying to, we all talk about how we want to raise our kids differently than how we were raised. Like that's a general consensus, right? Yeah. If you had amazing parents and you're just like, I'd do it exactly how they would. Fantastic. But I'm just saying, I know that I even had moments, especially when I was younger with my kids, that I was like, I know there are certain things I want to do differently. And then I realized I was doing the same thing until I made the switch in my life and realized how important it was to breathe, how important it was to have a day of rest, how important it was to push when I need to. But then when my body says, no, ma'am, I say, okay. And we go and take a break, right? Like it's so essential. And I realized that with my kids, especially now that they're teenagers, and how in the beginning they were starting to take on that same concept. Yeah. And here I am now over the last couple of years, like really telling them like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. I'm having a down day, mom. Okay. Then what can we do today to help give you space for that, which is going to make you more productive tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, when my daughter was going through this transition that she's going through, in one of the meetings that she had before she lost her job recently, she said, I love what I do. And I remember my mom saying to me when I was 12 years old, whatever you do, do what you love. Whatever it is, do what you love. And I can remember that exact moment, Kat. I had just come off of some very stressful conference calls in my corporate job. We were pulling out of the driveway. I was probably taking her to, I don't know, cheer practice or something. And I was physically banging on the steering wheel saying, Haley, whatever you do, do what you love. And in that moment, realizing like, what am I modeling here? Listen, you said this a minute ago. There are going to be times that you have to push in your business. Mm-hmm. I am not saying that, you know, you can be praying, meditating, whatever it is to you, but there is still action that you have to take.
Yeah.
And sometimes that action is going to be more than at other times. And we cannot overlook the need to rest, the need to reset, because we can't operate at that level of energy and adrenaline all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It not only hurts us, it hurts those that we want to serve. Like, how can we effectively serve our audiences when we're constantly going? Constantly. No, we can't.
Yeah. And then we wonder why, you know, so many of us have sleeping disorders or depression or anxiety. You have all these, because we are constantly in this nature of everything must do, right? And I agree with you. It's we talk about, you know, this funny, I always thought it was funny when I was a kid, you know, do what I say, not what I do. But like now that my kids are teenagers, I'm like, holy crap. They are modeling, even though I'm telling them, don't do this, don't do that. They're doing the exact freaking same thing that I'm doing.
Yes.
And that was, you know, especially when I really started in my healing journey several years ago, I realized that like, okay, if I don't show my kids what I am doing differently, then they're going to continue to pick up on the things I was doing. And how can we expect people to have a different outlook or to be able to break through barriers that we haven't thought of yet? I mean, if you think about that, that is how inventions were created. That's how new ideas have come about, is because people broke out of those societal norms to do things that people looked at them like they were crazy. And we need to continue to feed that. But you're right. It doesn't mean that you don't do anything or you lay around and wait for things to come to you. There has to be this ebb and flow where sometimes you're going to be ready to go and you're going to get things done. But there are going to be other times, days, weeks, or seasons where you're like, this sucks. And that is okay as well. But knowing that there is something on the other side is always a bigger piece, I believe, as well.
Yeah. And being that being present piece, one of the lessons I learned years ago from a trainer was, you know, in whatever you're doing, be present. So if you're working, be present and tell the kids that's going to have to wait. Right. And the opposite, if you're with your kids or your family or vacation, you're on whatever it is, be present, because she said her daughter said to her, it was like a Friday night. They were playing a card game. Maybe it was Go Fish. I don't know. And her daughter, who was like 8 or 9, was like, mom, you're not paying attention. Why? Because she was on her phone working, right? Why? Because she thought she had to be working at that very moment. And I firmly believe that it is a lie from the pit of hell that we have to be constantly working or we'll fall behind. No, if you know that you are walking out your gifts and talents, and from my perspective, if you know that you're walking in the will of God and you are working in the mission in the marketplace that he has given you, yes, there is work you have to do, but the people that he has for you to work with are already lined up. Like mm-hmm. you may not see it, but he's already gone ahead of you. So then what are we trying to keep up with? Right? Like do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, take the steps. But so often, Kat, it's like for me, like, and I still do it. Like God gives me 2 steps and I'm like, well, if I triple that, that'll be 6 steps and I'll be further along. And then like, I get like that God thump where he's like, I'm sorry. Don't you talk about redefining hustle? You know what I mean? Because, you know, that's just how our brains speculate and operate and calculate. Like, how could I do it faster? How could I do it better? And I love what you said, like the best inventions and ideas can only come when we're allowing the quiet.
Yeah. Oh, and I love, Erin, that you talk about being present, because I think that for me, that was probably one of the biggest game changers. Yeah. Because then it's easier to release the hustle. It's easier to release the go, 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 because you now get to enjoy the simpler things. You now get to enjoy the things that you know you do. And that's what you try to like shove into your weekends, or you try to shove into your vacations, or that one day that you've got off. But now you get to wholeheartedly enjoy it. And I think that for me, especially, that was probably one of the biggest things, was knowing that because I wasn't hustling like a maniac, I now got to make more space to enjoy the things that really filled my cup, like being out in nature and being around water, or going and doing things with my kids, which inevitably recharges you so that when you get back into flow of, hey, I'm ready to get some stuff done in my business, you are ready to go.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, the other thing about what you just said is, it's not just that these things that you enjoy and recharge you are important for that reason. They're equally important because you earned them, right? Enjoy the fruit of your labor. That was the challenge that I had both in corporate and in my my MLM, is that I made the money, but like it's not like we were enjoying so many more things. And when at the end of the day, when I decided, well, when God, I was obedient to God to step back from that network marketing business, which I still have. Residual income is a beautiful thing. What I realized is that all the times that I was really enjoying the flexibility and the time off, like 80% of that time was spent with the people in my business, not the people in my home. And so being present is equally important so that you're enjoying the fruits of your labor. Because listen, you don't have to, I mean, you can redefine hustle and still work hard. We do, right? Because we have big hearts and we want to serve people. And redefining that hustle is hand in hand with being present. Hand in hand. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I love that you brought that up, because you're right. You do want to make space for enjoying it. That's the whole, you know, definition, for lack of better terms, that you hear, right? You get a job or you do a job and it's so that you can earn money, because then you get to live your life. And it's like, but so I have to wait before.
Right. I have to wait 40 years. What? Yeah.
Yeah. Or I'm going to be so tired and exhausted that I'm not going to be able to or want to do anything. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that by doing that, not only are you missing out on so much that you could be enjoying now, when you finally do realize it, you're going to be trying to make up the rest of your life for all the things that you never got to enjoy. And that's now you've already lost the time, right? And that is something that we cannot get back. I can get a project done a different day. I can record a podcast at a different hour or with a different person, but once that time is spent, I can think about it all I want and be like, I wish I would have done that. It would have been so much more fun if I'd have done this, but that you can't get back.
That's 100%. I mean, even you and I, we had a conversation. Gosh, it's been weeks, right? And then I scheduled. And then I had to, I chose to reschedule because I was like, wait a minute, I have this really incredible opportunity that's going to sound really boring to be in Philadelphia and help my daughter pack her apartment. Now, the other thing I didn't mention in my bio is like, I love to do some organizing, right? And so that was just this golden opportunity to sit with my 23-year-old, help her declutter, help her pack the boxes, like, and I would never have gotten that moment back. Mm-hmm. And that may seem so simple, but as being the mom who was always gone from the time they were like, I don't know, from the time she was like 6 to 12, like, no, I want to savor every one of those moments. And we're not good at savoring sometimes because, you know, we have to give our brains a break so that our brains are not constantly like, oh, what do I have to get done in my business?
Yeah. And I think that by, you know, taking that break, your brain gets to reset.
That's right.
And then it makes it a lot easier to redefine what is important and what isn't. Mm-hmm. And it starts to become easier and easier to say no to things that generally you would have said yes because you felt obligated to, which then means you get to start learning to live more on purpose and in your purpose because you are learning to be able to say no. You get to redefine the things that are more important to you, which is what everybody is seeking anyway. But like we talked about earlier, people are so stuck in seeking that outside validation that we forget that if we aren't seeking the inside validation and making ourselves happy, then we ultimately are not able to give to anyone else.
Right. Because we are giving and giving and giving. And then like, what's left and why, right? Are we giving and giving and giving? There's something a friend of mine always says, when you're saying yes to something, you're saying no to something else, right? And so where do you want to give that yes? And we have to be conscious about that. I mean, here we are in November recording this, and I think a lot of people are looking toward the new year and, you know, hopefully doing some strategy. And I myself have looked at where am I involved and where do I not want to be involved? Mm. Like, what am I going to say no to for 2024? Yeah. So that I can be laser focused and present in the places that most are fulfilling for me, but also can be most service oriented for, you know, finding my clients and connecting with people and that kind of thing. And we've got to be conscious of that. We have to allow our mind to do that because some of us are doing things that we hate to do because we think this is what we're supposed to do, or we're trying to make other people happy or get their approval. Yeah. And that is no way to run a business.
Yeah. Or your life.
Or your life. Yeah.
You're working for everyone else. And then, you know, especially being a parent is, you know, if you're living for your kids and things, then when they grow up and do their own thing, you feel like you don't have a purpose.
Yes. Right?
Which can be so deafening for so many people. And I've seen it happen so many times for clients that I've worked with that now are having to rediscover who they are because they put so much into somebody else or something else that they attach their being to.
That's right. And they attach their identity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then what happens, right? What happens when there's a pandemic that shifts everything? What happens when your kids grow up and move out? Like, you know, I think that we all can benefit from being in a state of, I wonder what's next. Not in a way that we're not present now, but even just a daydreaming way, like, wow, like, I wonder what's next, right? To just be open to that. I think we're so afraid of change, and yet change is the only constant, that we don't allow ourselves to see beyond the change to what could be on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. So if you got anything from today, it is to slow down. It is to be present, and it is to think of the things that you wouldn't generally suggest or think about to allow yourself to explore? Because you're so right. Imagination and daydreaming is so important. And that is definitely something that is getting bred out of our society younger and younger and younger and younger, which puts so many stigmas and also so many stipulations on us that we all feel like we need to hold on to. So I love this conversation, Erin. So do me a favor then, as we come to a close, you know, I always ask my guests one thing, and that is, do you happen to have a quote or a piece of advice you'd like to leave the audience with?
A quote or a piece of advice. So I would say God made you ambitious. Like, it's just in you, right? But he did not make you to work the world's way. He did not make you to hustle. He did not make you to work in chaos. And yes, there is work to be done, but it doesn't have to be done the way you've always been taught. It doesn't have to be business as usual. So although he made you ambitious, he didn't make you to do business as usual. And remember that. And if you need help with that, I know Kat can help you. I know if you're a female believer, I can help you. But just remember, like, you weren't made to march to that drum.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. It's such a great reminder, especially as we're coming to the end of the year and going into the new year, to really think about how you want to define who you want to be in the next year. So, and of course, Erin, you know, share with everybody, how can people connect with you, find you? How can they be in your world?
Yeah. So definitely go to my website, erinharrigan.com. I've got some downloads. The podcast is there. Redefining Hustle that's the podcast, but I also like to hang out on LinkedIn. So come find me there. It's Erin Harrigan, and I would love to connect. Send me a message, all the things, because you're not in this alone. You are not in this alone. And there are credible people. Kat is one, you know, in these conversations that just want to help. We just want to help each other work from a place of, like I said, clarity, serenity, and fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So beautiful. And of course, we'll have all that information in the show notes for you guys so you can connect with Erin. So again, thank you, Erin, so much for being a part of the podcast today. I can't thank you enough for sharing all of the lovely tips with the audience.
Thank you, Kat. I love what you're doing. It is such an honor to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. And to everybody else that's out there, I hope you got some amazing takeaways. I know that we are going to be, you know, if you're listening to this, more than likely, it's probably going to be toward the end of the year. And if not, and it's the middle of your year, you can redefine it whenever you choose to, at whatever time that fits into your lifestyle, not somebody else's. So I hope that you got some amazing takeaways and tips from this episode. And don't forget, until next time, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until the next episode, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat. Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own Lotus Effect.